All right.
Well, actually, I feel like I don't need to say anymore because those manifestations were amazing. But I do have something to say. And this morning I want to share a phrase that many Christians use, but it's not scripturally based. You might say, is it? The devil made me do it? No, that's not. I used that when I was in my youth. But no, it's a term that we use called, which we say is God is in control.
Wow.
And in everything. And if that truly is the truth, then he would cause good as well as evil. And we heard from the manifestations how tender our Heavenly Father has a love for us. And because of freedom of will, Adam made a choice to disobey God, and he lost the perfect relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. But in Genesis 3:15, God sets the plan again. It wasn't that he couldn't have the destiny, the control of, he knows what's going on, but he also was able to prepare a path for our Savior to come, Jesus Christ, to redeem us and to pay the price. So when normally, and I know Leslie used that term today, and it was because God has a purpose for each one of us. But a lot of people think that God does cause evil as well as good. I grew up thinking that any time I could get struck down.
Mm.
And, you know, that's a sad thing. But the problem and the cause, or the source of that is the adversary. He wants to make God into this ogre that you don't want to believe. And that's what we're going to look at today. We're not going to look at how to deal with the adversary. We're going to look at how good God is and how he can get involved in our lives, even if we have the bruises and the scars and all the battle marks that we have through life. We will be tempted. We will have mental pressures, but we have a Savior who has taken care of us. And that's really what I want to really get into today. You know, the world says that when we have hurricanes and tornadoes and all this, that they're acts of God. Well, they truly are the acts of the God of this world. And that he needs to get credit for that. And don't use a big G, use a little G. I hate that when people give God a little G, the real God. Bob Falk, a very good friend of ours, did a study on this God is in control. Is God in control? And I've used a little bit of his insight in my study today. There's one version of the Bible, the contemporary English version, that uses this phrase. It is found in the book of Job. Many know this as a recording of a godly man, upright man who loses everything. He's tempted of the devil. But we see a man who refuses to deny God and is restored double for his losses. That's the truth. But it reads in Job 25:1, Bildad from Shuah said, and Bildad was one of Job's miserable comforters, God is the one to fear because God is in control and rules the heavens. Job had three friends who wanted Job to blame God for the evil in his life. God was not pleased with them. In Job 42:7, it says, through 10, it says, and so it was, after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz, the Temanite, my wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. Now, therefore, take for yourselves 7 bulls and 7 rams. Go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken to me what is right, and my servant Job has. So Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamanite, and Joyce Meyer says, you got to watch the ites, so here's 3 ites that I wouldn't follow, went and did as the Lord commanded them, for the Lord had accepted Job, and the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Well, if our question is God in control? It's very much answered there. No, that was not speaking true of what God said. God wants a relationship. When Job prayed for his friends, that opened the door for God to work. And prayer is a big part of how God can work. Even when we're tempted and we're going through tribulation, we turn to him. We boldly come before his throne of grace and ask for help in time of need. We are flawless. Jesus Christ has made us flawless. It's the world that shows us that, no, you can't be perfect. It reminds us of what we've done. But in God's eyes, we are perfect in his sight, and that's where we need to continue to look. This is a crazy world going on right now. There's a lot of evil. We cannot look at that. We have to turn our eyes on Jesus to really know the truth. So why is there evil in this world? Because God was so loving, and love is a decision, not an emotion. We think about so much it's an emotional thing, but it's a decision. To choose, and Adam had the choice to obey God or not. God set only one stipulation for him in the garden, had everything. He said one thing, just do not eat of the tree of good and evil, least you die. And the serpent came, and what happened was he deceived Eve, gave Eve the idea that God was holding back from them, that his temptation, that he had something that he more for them, but he wasn't going to give it to them. And that's what happens. The devil works that way. He works in tempting us to have something that really probably isn't the best thing for us. Because God is our Father, and he wants the very best for us. So don't allow the adversary to throw in things that God didn't say. Go to the scriptures. Remember that who you are, and don't accept someone else's word for it. If God is in control, we would not have freedom of will. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Every good gift comes from God. Boy, everybody loves Christmas because of the gifts that we get. And yet, everything that we have is a gift from God. And it's a good gift. And it doesn't sour. It doesn't change. It doesn't take anything back. Isn't that just amazing? Wouldn't you want to put your focus on him and your relationship with him rather than what you don't have? Be anxious for nothing. That's not God's will. He says, you know, that's a sin. To be worrying about things that God is there to take care of you for. You know, he doesn't want us to do that. So every good gift. So if God was really in control of this world right now, it would be perfect. And it will be. That's something we can look forward to. But think about it right now. There would be no evil. We would be just hugging on each other. There would be no virus, I'll tell you, no social distancing. It would be an amazing life, and that's what we have to look forward to. But until that time, we speak good of our Father. We know that in Genesis 3:15, Jesus was set in motion to be that Redeemer. And I was thinking about the word Savior. He's our Savior, and I looked in Wikipedia, and here are some of the synonyms for Savior: guardian, hero, protector, friend in need, redeemer, intercessor, knight in shining armor, rescuer, deliverer, mediator, advocate, perfect sacrifice, and liberator, to name a few, to legally bring us back to the relationship with God that Adam had in the garden. John 10:10. Jesus says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come, Jesus Christ came, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And that's what we all want. I think that's what turned us all on to the Word of God when we heard that. Instead of having to fight our lives, work our way to salvation, we have a Savior that paid the price so that we could come before our Father and jump into his lap. I think part of the manifestation was someone said that, that we just jump into his lap and that we enjoy that intimacy of it. But we don't have to worry about the thief because he's under our feet. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the NLT says, Satan, the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. And that's the key. He doesn't want us to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way you can get to the Father is through the Son. If you want to look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 and 5, 3 through 5, we're going to look at now. It says, give me a second here. It says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? You know what? Each one of us have already overcome the world. We accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord. So don't worry about it. The battle is the Lord's. We have overcome the world. This world is not my home. It's just the passing through. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we have a job to do. We have to change our minds, change our view of what's going on in this world. The view right now is God wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So we, as ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what we want to focus on. Are there people hurting? Absolutely. Do we have love to provide for them that, to heal those wounds? Absolutely. And if we're hurting, then we call out. We go to that throne room. Today, the devil is still tempting mankind to deny God. Adam gave over his dominion to the devil. Now the devil is at work in this world. What does it mean to be tempted? It literally is when one draws away by his own desires and he entices. Just recently, I received an email from Amazon, and it said that I was a Black Friday winner, and I was eligible to win an iPad. I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. And did that entice me? Absolutely. So something free, I'm always for that. But then I thought, well, most things are too good to be true. But I do buy regularly from Amazon, so maybe I earned enough points that I could be in this drawing to win. So I clicked on the link, and there was this little spinner, and it turned, and it pointed right at my iPad there. And the only drawback was I had to send in $5.99 on my credit card. So I thought, okay, well, there's a flag right there. So I might need to check to make sure this really is Amazon. So I called Amazon's customer service and I said, was I really a Black Friday winner and won this iPad? She goes, sorry, no. We don't have Black Friday drawings and winners. And I have Prime anyway, so I wouldn't pay I wouldn't pay for shipping. So that was a red flag at Cindy. But those are the little things that the adversary can do. I didn't need that iPad, but it was enticing. And so we have to look at things that are drawing our attention and see if that's really the best thing for us. We know that Jesus was in the wilderness. After he received the Spirit, he was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights without food. Our Heavenly Father was teaching him all the things that he needed to know. He had that intimacy with him there. And then the adversary decided that he was available to tempt him. But, and he was prepared because he had the Spirit. We have the Spirit of God, so we can be prepared when those temptations come. And what did he tempt him with? He said, if you be the Son of God, command the stone to be made bread. Jesus was hungry, so that's a very good enticing thing to ask for. But he would have to declare he was not questioning his identity. He was the Son of God. There's no if about it. And what did Jesus do? He came back with the Word of God. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And then the devil tempted Jesus with authority of the world. He could give him this authority because it was given to him by Adam, if he would worship him. Worship is what got Satan, or got Lucifer in trouble in the very beginning. He wanted to be, didn't want to be second in command. He wanted to be as the Most High God. And that's what he's still doing today. But he's not going to have the followers he needs. Jesus responded with the Word of God, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord your God, and him only will I serve. And then the third temptation was, if you be the Son of God, throw yourself down. And then the devil quoted scriptures. Verse 12 says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. And that's what, temptation is something, that's all he has to work with, deception. But what did Jesus work with? The scriptures. He knew the truth. The truth had all the foundation he needed. He didn't have to argue, debate over it. He spoke it, and then the devil left because he couldn't do anything with it. And that's what he needs to do. God, the word says, submit to God and resist the devil, and he will flee. We want him to be fleeing from us. He doesn't have it, and we want him to be fleeing from those that we love. That's why we continue to speak the word. God continues to work with us in this spiritual battle against the devil, who is the one in control of this world, the one responsible for suffering, evil, and the sin we see around us. It's not God, but his enemy. Let's look at 1 John chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. I'm going to read the NLT of this. It says, we know that we are children of God, and the whole world around us is under the control of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we can know the true God. And we live in fellowship with the true God because we live in fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God, and this is eternal life. Now, verse 21, I think, is a tremendous call to action for our lives. It says in the NLT, dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts. Keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts. The King James says, keep yourself from idols. And Bollinger defines idols as looking for help from anything but the living God. Turning to something else besides the living God. Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. Keep you away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts. That'd be a great banner to have on our refrigerator or mirrors, whatever. Many times we accept the word of a doctor over the word of God. You know, doctors are just guessing. They don't know. They don't know that we can use the authority of the name of Jesus Christ and command that heart to work right. Command that blood to be flowing properly, that every part of it is healed. Because Jesus paid the price. We're flawless. Remember that. I love that word. I saw a lady come out of a grocery store one time, and she said, I'm flawless. And I went up to her and I said, have you heard that song by Mercy Me? No. I go, well, that's true. You are. God has made you that way. It was so funny. I thought she was a Mercy Me fan. But we need to put God first. That's his desire for us. John 16:3 says, in the Amplified, Jesus said, I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you and to have conquered it for you. He has conquered it. That's why we're more than conquerors. He did the conquering for us. Now we just receive the title. We're more than conquerors. Hebrews 2:18 says, for in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Jesus Christ is aids us when we're tempted. Now we have that Christ in us, the hope of glory. We have that identity. That's what we need to look at. Hebrews 4:14-16 in the NLT says, "So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest is ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings or temptations we do, yet he did not sin. He was tempted in all points, yet without sin." Our Savior did that. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Isn't that wonderful? Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ was our example. He was tempted in all points, yet without sin, because he did not turn away from his Father. When he had when the opportunities came that he was challenged, he went to the Father. And that's exactly what we do. We come boldly before that throne of grace. We are a new creation in Christ. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. We represent Christ and receive the authority of his name to defeat the evil one. We put on the whole armor of God. We stand and we speak and we pray. We have an intimate relationship with the Creator, the Almighty, whom we call Abba. Even though God isn't controlling all circumstances, the Bible clearly tells us he is working for our good. And we're going to close in Romans chapter 8. Starting in verse 28, and I'm reading the New King James. It says, Romans 8:28, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." That's us. He was the first one. Born among many brethren. "Moreover, whom he predestined, them he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" No one, no one, right? We did all the cheerleaders out of here. Come on. Nobody can stand against us.
No one.
"He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Remember, you're flawless. It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake you are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." You know, Jesus is our intercessor. God has provided everything. There's nothing that can separate us from his love. His love is perfect. We see a loving Father who responds to our prayers. That's how he can work in our lives. When we're having problems, we just call out to him. Even the word help is all he needs to interact in our lives. And then he teaches us to pray in the Spirit. He's given us that ability that when we don't even know what we're supposed to pray about, we speak in tongues. Mm-hmm. So there's never a time where we can't call upon him. He knows our hearts. He wants us to know the scriptures and to have an intimate relationship with him. He rescues and gives us the victory. God can only work with a man's desire to receive his Son. Jesus paid the price for all mankind to be free from the devil's control, to a life trusting in a good, good Father who will bring peace and joy in the Spirit of Christ, and you will bring victory over the evil one. Can you see how blessed we are? What a life we have. We have nothing lacking. There's nothing that can be spoken against us? Remember God's call to action in 1 John 5:21. Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.